Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. Coming up in about a half hour, superstar attorneys David Boies and Ted Olson. They argued against each other famously in Bush versus Gore. Now they're legal teammates for marriage equality. Boies and Olson together coming up. Right now, about 2 months ago, Politico wrote an article with a premise that pretty much everyone agreed with. After the passage of the payroll tax extension in December, don't expect any significant legislation to pass Congress for the rest of the year. That's it. It's a heated election year. Congress is already bitterly divided. Let's call 2012 a total wash. But lo and behold, some real issues and some bills with major impact are being debated in Congress right now, and the usual wheeling and dealing seems to be in full swing. Joining us to talk taxes, the Paul Ryan budget proposal, and a transportation bill with major implications for New York is Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. So what happened? This was supposed to be the do-nothingest of do-nothing Congresses.
I'm taking issue with the intro of this segment, Brian,
okay,
because, and I'll tell you why. Yes, the transportation bill is being debated, but you know, in years past, the transportation bill, this is the highway, they call it the highway bill, the highway trust fund bill. It sounds mundane, and it can be roads, bridges, sidewalks to some extent.
Mass transit too. Absolutely
mass transit, which is a big thing in this bill. It's always gotten done, and it's always gotten done in a broad bipartisan way. Yes, people fight over it. Yes, some people vote no, but it always gets done because every district in the country has buy-in. There's a highway and an interchange and a bridge in every single district in every single state in America. Everybody has buy-in. Eventually it passes. Well, the Senate passed its version of the transportation bill last week, but Brian, it is a mess in the House. They've been at it for well over a month. They have not been able to even get a bill on the floor, and this is just the Republicans. It has nothing to do with the Democrats. It's because of Republican infighting, and they haven't even managed to get a bill passed so that they can then fight with the Senate.
Well, some of the reporting that I've seen about this, and I guess you're saying this is wrong, is that the Tea Party wing of the House Republicans tried to stop the transportation bill, even though this is considered traditionally mom and apple pie, because they're so much in favor of limited government, but that Boehner had to turn around and cave and basically say, okay, we're going to accept the business as usual Senate version of the bill, and that they're preparing to do that. Is that not happening?
No, that is happening, except it hasn't happened yet. And that turnaround from Boehner and that threat of simply taking the Senate bill is a blow to his credibility with a lot of his House members. I'm not saying the transportation bill won't get done eventually. It will get done eventually. It would be a disaster for Republicans if it didn't. And John Boehner knows this. He doesn't want to have another showdown, shutdown, showdown this close to the election. They're done with that kind of stuff for now. What I'm saying is that the idea that all of a sudden 2012 is fantastically bipartisan and things are smoothly getting done kind of masks what's really going on. You know, this transportation bill, like I said, they've been at it for a long time over in the House, and because of divisions that don't normally exist to this extent in a House conference, they haven't even been able to get a bill on the floor. I that's close to unprecedented.
We've been talking about the transportation bill on this show over a few conversations because it's of such relevance to our area, and the fact that we're going to take out in the House the guaranteed percentages that go to mass transit, because there were some guarantees for pedestrian walkway funding, bike route funding that were going to be eliminated, or it was all going to be turned over to the state's discretion. We've been talking about that and the contentiousness that, of course, you've been reporting on. But now it seems to be moving forward, and it got through the Senate by a 74-22 margin. Does the width of that margin surprise you?
It didn't surprise me, but it certainly put a lot of pressure on Boehner and the House Republican leaders to get something through. And it's why Boehner, knowing this was coming, went to his House people who don't like the five-year transportation bill that they were working on over there, with all kinds of increased oil drilling and reduction of mass transit, which a lot of rural members don't care for, as you just mentioned. A lot of those changes may be gone now. And that was because John Boehner decided we are not having a showdown with the White House and with the Democrats over this. We may give up some things, but it's only a two-year bill that the Senate passed, and we're going to get it done. And it's true, if you're in New York, there's a lot to like in this bill, Brian. Don't forget, the one thing also that's in this bill is the return of the transit commuter tax credit, which used to be $230. I guess, you know, you ride the A train or the one train down there every morning. A lot of people commute into work on bus, train, or subway.
Up to $230 a month for which you could ride transit and get a tax deduction for that amount.
Yes, except it's up to 240 now, so a little extra boost if the House takes the Senate bill unchanged. It's unclear that they're going to take it unchanged. And I do want to point out one other thing in the dynamic. John Boehner has warned his members that if they can't get a bill, they are going to put the House bill on the floor. Going to put the Senate bill mm-hmm. on the House floor. That decision has not yet been made. In fact, Republicans are still debating having a temporary reauthorization of existing law, because this law runs out at the end of the month. And because the floor is so packed with political votes on health care, because the Supreme Court case is coming up and the Ryan budget is coming up, it's very unclear. In fact, it's unlikely that they are going to pass that Senate bill before the end of the month, which means more debate, more opportunities for infighting, and it's unclear exactly how this is going to be resolved, and it's not going to be before Easter.
I want to get to that Paul Ryan budget in just a minute, but the way you make the sound, it's kind of a House Republican circular firing squad, and I wonder if you think the divisions among Republicans are so bad that it could threaten their control of the House in the November elections.
Well, this is the same. This is a similar dynamic to what we've seen throughout the 112th Congress of Republican control, which is John Boehner, the 30-year veteran of the House, the establishment Republican, sort of the Bob Dole, Mitt Romney Republican, if you will, even though they're not the same guy. In this case, they're kind of similar, trying to manage a new kind of Republicanism in the House. Yes, a lot of it is led by the Tea Party brand, but some of it isn't. The party has shifted far right. You have a lot of freshmen, 89 of them, longer-term conservatives and Tea Party members, putting enormous pressure on John Boehner to change the way business is done. That is meant to a ban on earmarks, for instance, which is affecting how easy it is to get this transportation bill done. You know, you can't buy people off with a project in their district anymore. It's a little harder to get things passed. But we saw this dynamic in the super committee, in the debt talks, where John Boehner appears ready to make a deal, a tough deal, you know, take the best deal you can get, and then cut the deal. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been allowed to do that in many cases. And this transportation bill, I think, is microcosm of that exact same thing. This transportation bill traditionally passes with broad bipartisan votes. Even though there are no earmarks, everybody has buy-in. And the reason I think John Boehner has gone back and said to his people, if we can't get an agreement, Republicans, we are just going to take the Barbara Boxer, James Inhofe Senate bill, is because he knows that this dynamic should not be the billboard of Republicans
right.
in 2012. They had their fights before. In an election year. That's exactly right.
Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway. Okay, moving on. And guess what's back in the news? A Paul Ryan budget plan. Now, the Wisconsin Republican congressman, chairman of the budget committee, is going to unveil his latest proposal today. Last week, he released a video, and it begins by saying that the 2008 economic crisis caught the country by surprise. We can debate whether that's true another time. But then, looking forward, he asks,
let me ask you a question. What if your president, your senator, your congressman knew it was coming? What if you knew when it was going to happen, why it was going to happen, and more importantly, what if they knew what they needed to do to stop it from happening, and they had the time to stop it, but they chose to do nothing about it because it wasn't good politics? What would you think of that person? It'd be immoral. This coming debt crisis is the most predictable crisis we've ever had in this country. And look what's happening. This is why we're acting.
You know, Todd, I think that's the same music from the Kony 2012 video. But seriously, what's in the Paul Ryan budget proposal version 2, and does it have turning Medicare into a voucher system, which was the big ticket item in version 1?
It does. It has all those things. You know, I heard that tape before I saw the video on YouTube, and I just pictured Paul Ryan on a blackened stage with a spotlight with an orchestra behind him as he's staring off to the back of the crowd. It has all of those things. And
I think the viola section was a little out of tune. But anyway, go ahead.
They might have been. The cellos were good. It has all of those things, and that leads the reporting on this and the prognostications about this budget to say Republicans are doubling down on a strategy that hurt them last year, which is going to be vulnerable to the charge of dismantling Medicare as we know it. And you are going to hear those words out of the mouth of every Democrat in Congress, especially Nancy Pelosi. It does have the changing of Medicare eventually into what Republicans call a premium support plan. Democrats call it that evil word of voucher, which means instead of a single payer system, which is what Medicare is now, you go to your doctor, Medicare pays your doctor. Instead, Medicare gives you a check, and you're responsible for shopping for healthcare with that check on your own out in the market. They are doing that again, but they've softened the edges a little bit. And this is what one thing that Paul Ryan has told his colleagues is going to make things a little bit easier on them. Senator Ron Wyden is a Democrat from Oregon who's big on Medicare reform. He's on the Finance Committee. And he has a bill with Paul Ryan that's going to be incorporated into this budget that does have the premium support or voucher change, but it also allows people to use that voucher to shop in traditional Medicare if they want to basically keep traditional Medicare. So it's kind of the if you like your Medicare, you can keep it mm-hmm. sort of thing. Now, Democrats are still going to hate this because they're going to say, you know, that's the camel's nose under the tent, and it's just an excuse to dismantle Medicare in 20 years instead of 10 years, and people can have that debate.
We'll talk a lot more on the show about the Paul Ryan budget, which is going to be, I think, a defining document in the 2012 campaigns.
Sure is.
More when it's released later today or maybe tomorrow. But just before you go, in just 30 seconds, Todd, Ron Wyden, Democratic U.S. Senator from Washington State, how much cover is he giving the Republicans for this whole election year by teaming up with Ryan on this Medicare reform, and why?
Wyden is from Oregon.
Oregon, Washington.
Yeah.
I go with the
left
New York.
Coast.
Yeah, Upper West. You know, sorry, folks.
He's giving them plenty of cover, and I'm sure there are some people who don't like it, but it's not a surprise. Ron Wyden has been a moderate voice for healthcare reform for a long time. It was Ron Wyden who teamed up with Orrin Hatch on something called the Healthy Americans Act before the Affordable Care Act ever got done, that had a lot of reforms and a lot of proposals that liberals absolutely did not like. And interestingly, that team up between Wyden and Hatch is a lot of the reason that Orrin Hatch has been having so many problems in Utah getting reelected with a Tea Party challenge himself, because he cooperated with a liberal Democrat like Ron Wyden. He's giving them cover, and it takes an arrow or two out of Democrats' quiver, but you're going to hear the same rhetoric from Democrats that this ends Medicare as we know it, and they're also going to attack Republicans for abandoning the spending agreements that they made with Harry Reid and the Democrats and the president back during the debt talks, because there are caps in place. This budget goes even lower, says we're going to cut spending even further than we agreed to cut it with Democrats, and Democrats are going to carp about that too.
You know, I don't even have the excuse for mistaking Oregon for Washington that it's flyover country, unless you're flying to Hawaii, but we'll just call it the Upper West Side of the United States. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, diversity versus segregation on the blocks of New York City. Stay tuned.